In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the geek culture podcast from the USA Today Network. Thank you so much for joining us and happy, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Let's meet the crew. I'm Kelly Lawler. I'm the TV critic, and my favorite thing for the 1990s was being born.
I'm Brian Truitt, film critic and entertainment writer, and my favorite thing from the 1990s was teal everything. I don't know if you had like a teal onesie or something, but you probably did.
I'm sure I did.
Everything was teal. Like the world was teal.
If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. We're so excited to have you. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe to us for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. And while you're on Apple Podcasts, it would be super great if you could drop us a review or a rating or both. By doing that, you're helping other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us. And as a thank you, we will read your review on air and shout you out and make you super famous. We've done this before, and it's always been great. Also, if you're a longtime listener of the show, you realize my name is not Brett Molina. He couldn't make it this week, but we love him and miss him. So hi, Brett.
Hey.
And don't forget, guys, that along with leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, you could also get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod, or you can send us an email to mothershippod@usatoday.com. This week, we are talking about a very, 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 very long-awaited peek at one of the most powerful heroes in the galaxy, Captain Marvel.
Space invasion. Big car chase. Truth be told, I was ready to hang it up till I met you today. So you're not from around here.
It's hard to explain. I keep having these memories. I see flashes. I think I had a life here. But I can't tell if it's real.
That was from the first trailer for Captain Marvel, the first film from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with a solo female lead, scheduled to hit theaters in March of 2019. And suffice to say that fans have been eagerly anticipating this film since it was announced in 2014. And while we don't do as many trailer reviews on this podcast as we used to, we figured this one is significant enough for us to really dig into it. It's a big landmark for the Marvel Cinematic Universe and a favorite of us here in the room. Plus, there's some news this week in the Marvelverse that Scarlet Witch and Loki will be getting their own TV shows on Disney's streaming service, so we're kind of checking in with Marvel in general. But first, let's talk Captain Marvel. What were your first impressions when you saw the trailer, Brian? It also came just like a week after we saw some photos that were first released.
So I don't know what I thought first, because I had like 2 hours of sleep. We had worked Emmys the night before, and then it was an early GMA debut. So I don't know if I was like tired or something, but I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. Because I was just like, I really didn't know what was going on. But the kind of more and more I saw of it as I ran down like 6 marvelous moments, which you can find on life.usatoday.com, I dug it more because I could see what kind of they were doing. I mean, they were showing how powerful she really was. Mm-hmm. We got to see Sam Jackson with both eyes as Nick Fury. Old friends that we've seen before. We got to kind of the 1990s of it with Blockbuster Video just kind of sitting there. We still don't know really what's going on because Jude Law's character doesn't even have a name yet. But we know it's kind of like an origin story because we find her in medias res, crash landing on Earth. She's got this kind of Kree super suit on. She feels like she's from this place, but she's not really because she has all these space adventures. So I think there's going to be a lot of stuff in flashback. But I have hope for it because, I mean, I don't think we know these directors. Anna Bodin and Ryan Fleck. I mean, at least Ryan Coogler had Creed. We don't really know who these people are yet.
I saw one headline that was like, watch the trailer for the new movie from the directors of Mississippi Grind and Half Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, the guy who did Cop Car did Spider-Man Homecoming. I guess you start somewhere. What did you think?
I definitely had the same kind of I'm not sure what I'm watching when I watched it the first time, because I think the strategy that they went with was just showing lots of different things and kind of giving a feel more than like a story. So I was just like, oh, yeah, like this is interesting. It's kind of like bringing the Guardians of the Galaxy down to Earth is the vibe that I got. And I think that's probably a vibe a lot of people who don't know what Captain Marvel is will get. So I thought that was it was pretty good in terms of being that first trailer where you're just trying to get the name out there. You know, I think based on what Marvel has done in the past for its other marketing campaigns, we'll probably get much more extensive looks later. But while I'm thinking about it, Brian, for people who don't know much about Captain Marvel, what is her deal? Like, if you could sum it up quickly.
So Carol Danvers is a fighter pilot. And in the comics, I don't know what the spacey movie origin is going to be, but in the comics, she kind of runs into this guy named Mar-Vell, and he's a Kree warrior, and she runs into him. He's kind of dying, and she gets pretty much his powers, kind of all-powerful, like she can fly, shoot energy blasts, super strong, that sort of thing. So she kind of has the whole military soldier vibe from being the fighter pilot, but with all the kind of extra superpowers. So she's like superpower female Captain America, pretty much. Mm. She's aggressive. She's not cold, but she's, you know, she doesn't take any guff. So I think it's not something we've seen yet in the Marvel Universe. Because, I mean, I think you look at, like, Black Widow, she's kind of more cold. She's like a, you know, a femme fatale spy type.
Yeah.
But we've gotten to know her over the course of, the, you know, the movies. But, again, she comes from, like, that old school spy thing. So I think she's probably closer to the Wasp in terms of, like, you know, she's tough, you know, but she there is some heart in there.
Yeah, like Black Widow has sort of a cynical bent, and that's not something that I would ever associate with Captain Marvel. She's very straightforward.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be something very different. And she's not necessarily either a Wonder Woman like amalgam either, although, you know, Marvel and DC over the years did crib from each other. So Wonder Woman has her thing is kind of like compassion and overcaring and that kind of thing. And Captain Marvel is more get the job done, I feel like.
Very much Captain America. And I think in the comics, she's been used very recently as more of a Captain America type. When there was a Civil War II, had Iron Man versus Captain Marvel.
Yeah. So before we talk about Brie Larson's portrayal of Captain Marvel specifically, do you have any thoughts on the costumes, set pieces, the action, special effects? It looks very different than anything we've seen before from Marvel, which is good because they've shown us a lot of aesthetics in, you know, the past 10 years.
But it's an amalgam of things we've seen because we have a lot of the Guardians of the Galaxy type space stuff.
And a character played by Jaiman Hunsu.
Yeah, well, no, there's two. So we got to see like the back of Ronan the Accuser, who's played by Lee Pace, the Jaiman Hunsu character, who works for Ronan. And Ronan's a Kree soldier. So I think we'll get a whole bunch. And then the Skrulls are being introduced in this. So I'm sure we're going to have like Kree Skrull War kind of stuff going on. But we get an amalgam of like things we've seen before, but a little bit different. We get a sense of like the desolation that we saw of like New Mexico from Thor, but with the kind of the space stuff. But I'm just glad they have the Mohawk helmet. I mean, that's I really kind of think that's neat because they've really kind of taken the cool red, blue and gold outfit that she has from the comics. The hair's a little bit different. It's a longer hair because she has like kind of shorter hair in the comics, which makes more sense. And then the Mohawk helmet is just like really awesome helmet, kind of spacey, but then has like all of her hair kind of flying up. And she looks unlike anybody else.
I actually had a weird issue with her hair that mostly stems from there was this great article in Racked a few years ago that explains why every woman on TV has the same hair. It's kind of those loose waves. And they talked to a hairstylist from television, and the point is that it looks good on everyone and it's very easy to maintain and very easy to look the same in when you reshoot things or when you shoot different parts of a scene, which is great and really cool to know. But it doesn't really make sense to me that Carol Danvers would have that hair, especially with her costume. When you have really long hair and you wear something that's really big in the shoulders, your hair kind of falls in weird ways. And it doesn't really know whether to go in front of your shoulders or behind. And I'm speaking about this as someone who has really long hair and has that issue a lot. And it's so soft, that hairstyle, compared to the sort of like sleek, hard, like lines of her hair that we get in the comics. It just didn't make sense to me. I'm sure I'll get over it eventually, but it just stuck out as one of those things that just bugged me when I saw the trailer. And, you know, when you have like 2 minutes of something you really love, you will pick at those little bits.
And we get to see her in her military life, see her in like basic training, where I believe she has a ponytail.
Right. And that's what women in the military have to do with their hair.
Yeah. And we see her in fighter pilot kind of walking to her plane and again has the ponytail. So it would make sense. If she was like that, trained in a military sense, that she would have something more like the comics where it's not a ponytail, but it's like Ruby Rose's hair, kind of.
Yes.
Where it's short, but it's kind of like long up top. Maybe she needs that to get the Mohawk helmet, enough hair to come out of there. I don't know. But it does look weird for somebody to just have kind of wavy hair to be flying through space.
Yeah. Although I will say something I learned watching commentary on Buffy DVDs back in the day, that long hair makes it so much easier to put in a stunt double. Which is why Buffy's hair is down all the time, which is something that used to bother me. But then I accept that because it makes stunt doubles look more natural. And that's a really nice part of filmmaking. So, yeah, speaking of Brie, what did we think of her? She's got a big weight on her shoulders. And a lot of people had a lot of opinions about who should play this part.
I think she's okay.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see much of her personality.
Yeah.
We got to see a whole lot of, you know, identity crisis and like internal conflict. But I think that's all we got. And we got her shooting stuff and punching old ladies. So, I mean, I think there's a decent physicality there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the character's going to be good.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because she's such a great actress. We really haven't gotten to see what this person is like.
She has a very different voice than voices I've heard her use before in other movies. So I think is interesting, which is obviously a choice. So I'm interested to see where that goes. Although I was kind of stopped by the fact that she doesn't talk until like halfway through the trailer and Sam Jackson talks for a while, which has seemed like an interesting choice on behalf of the trailer editor, but whatever.
But I did like that. It's almost like a variation on an alien invasion story because she is an alien.
Right.
She crash lands on Earth. She's probably quiet because she's like, what the hell has just happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's trying to get her bearings right. So she might not talk a lot. She might just be like, try to figure things out and not talk to anybody. And kind of on the down low. So I think that is an interesting choice. You know, we get to see her in action. I do wonder, though, about her physicality. Because we're going to see her in, you know, Avengers 4 with other heroes. She is not tall. I mean, she's kind of short. So I don't know how that physical presence is going to come off standing right next to the Hulk.
Yeah. I think they made her costume bulky on purpose. It makes her look a little bulkier than she is in, like, a good way. In, like, a muscular way. So I think that might help a little bit. Did you have any thoughts on any of the other characters? You mentioned we don't know who Jude Law is playing yet. We saw a digitally de-aged Sam Jackson. So I think that's going to be jarring for an entire movie.
I don't think so, because, I mean, he looks different in every movie he's in.
And, yeah.
You know, he looks different in Glorious Bastards. He looks different in Django Unchained and Pulp Fiction. He looks different every time. So I think he looks a little bit younger, but he doesn't look that different. He actually looks more like other Samuel L. Jackson characters than Nick Fury does. But I think that's interesting, though, because the Nick Fury we meet here, it doesn't seem as cynical as the Nick Fury we see later, the gruff one who's putting together the Avengers. This one seems like he's kind of done with his job, but he almost kind of is inspired to do more because this space lady just landed in his lap.
And he has two eyes.
We
also saw a brief bit of Phil Coulson with hair.
Yeah, and he's probably a rookie in S.H.I.E.L.D. at this point.
Yeah. I'm glad he's back in the movies because it was such a bummer that he was wasted on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know that's going to get 20 people to yell at me on Twitter, but
no, no, at this point, probably two.
So what was the general reaction bit amongst fans? I have seen a lot of very excited people, of course. And then today I saw a man who photoshopped images of her from the trailer so that she smiles. So that was great. So excited that I saw that day.
There's always going to be those a-holes. I think it's mostly positive.
Yeah.
You know, I think the mostly positive people you're always going to hear on the first day anyway, because
they're
the most excited. As we go forward a few days, I think more people will be like, okay, well, here's the problems we have with it. A lot of other trailers, we'll probably get to Black Panther and Wonder Woman here in a little bit, but like, we knew who Black Panther was when we first saw the Black Panther trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So he could like go crazy with the Black Panther trailer, show Wakanda. That was magical because you're like, oh my God, I want to go there. But we already knew who Black Panther was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to probably go back to the first Ant-Man trailer to find another thing where it was just like, we have no idea who this guy is.
You know, and I know a few people who thought the Ant-Man trailer kind of looked stupid, but then they came around again once they actually saw the movie. So, you know, I think introducing a character in 2 minutes is tough.
Yeah. There'll be plenty of other trailers. You know, they'll show more of the probably her space stuff, more of her actual interacting with people other than punching an old lady.
That was a great gif. I've seen it like 20 times already.
And I love it too, because it's just like people were up in arms because, oh, this is violence against the elderly. And I'm like, she's a goddamn scroll.
Like, she's, that's not, yeah. I think
they show a scroll and then they show an old lady and her getting punched. It makes sense. Skulls are shape-shifting aliens. Just
FYI.
Just in case anybody, like elderly people, are wondering why, you know, they're getting punched by ladies.
Wonder what the median age of our podcast listener is.
The one elderly person, probably.
My dad. You're not elderly. I didn't say that. I definitely didn't say that. Anyways, so how do we think the movie is going to connect to the rest of the MCU, and obviously more specifically Infinity War 2, because at the end of the first Infinity War in the post-credit scene, we saw Nick Fury looking like he was maybe paging Captain Marvel. We saw her insignia on his little device just before he faded away into nothingness.
I mean, that's a gazillion-dollar question. That's why everybody's going to go see that stupid movie anyway, because we don't know.
Yeah.
Something in the movie, probably near the end, that gets her there.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be like, oh, hey, somebody's calling me on my pager. Because mm-hmm. I guess pagers were still a thing back in the 90s.
Or like maybe she leaves Earth at the end of the movie to explain why she hasn't been around for any of the other Marvel movies.
There's got to be something with time travel, because she can't look the same she did in the 1990s that she does kind of like 20 years later. They've hinted at something with Ant-Man being stuck in the quantum realm and being like, oh, watch out for the time vortexes. Hint, hint. Ant-Man and Captain Marvel were probably going to like coincide somehow to lead into, oh, this is how we're going to get these people back. So I don't know if that means, you know, Cap, Black Widow, and everybody goes through time and we get to see like different things, or what's going to happen, or how they even get to Thanos. All of this is like one giant question mark. Now, that's what the thing about the other Marvel movies is, we did have a roadmap to like, oh, well, you know, we can piece these things together. Be like, okay, well, this is what's going to happen. I mean, who knows?
So, yeah, you talked about Wonder Woman and Black Panther just a bit ago, you know, making more predictions for things we can't possibly predict. Do we think in terms of the box office or cultural zeitgeist that this movie is going to reach the heights of Black Panther or Wonder Woman?
Nope. Black Panther is something special.
Yeah.
Black Panther, for, you know, an entire community of people, is special. Everybody I know loves Black Panther. My mom loves Black Panther. That is something, if any other superhero movie comes to that again, I'll be impressed. Wonder Woman, again, did almost the same thing. I mean, it hit the cultural zeitgeist. People have been waiting like decades for a Wonder Woman movie. It was a good Wonder Woman movie. Yeah, and we will know who Wonder Woman was because we had a 1970s TV show. We've had decades of comic books. Captain Marvel, this is the first time, other than like a cartoon, that anybody's seen her on a screen. I mean, she's been around since the 70s, but she wasn't really, really popular until like recently.
Captain Marvel got more popular when Kelly Sue DeConnick took over writing the comics.
But I think people who want to know more about this movie would be smart to go read those comic books, because they pulled the costume from it. Also, I think they're going to pull from a lot of the origin story stuff, too, and her personality. And because we've seen Brie Larson, like, reading those comic books and Instagram posts. So, you know, I think two and two equals four here.
All right. Diverging from Captain Marvel for a second, there were reports this week about Disney's forthcoming streaming service, which is definitely going to shake up the whole entertainment industry, not just the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but definitely the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we had reports that Loki and Scarlet Witch will get their own shows on that service. So what do we think about that? What do we think about this service in general?
I think the streaming service is cool. I don't know if we need another streaming service, but I mean,
we don't.
It's going to take half of Netflix with it. It has to have some interesting stuff to it. If it's like the DC Universe, where they also have like comic books involved, like the people can read, I think that would be kind of cool. They got to have something else other than just streaming content. But if there is just streaming content, they own every cool property there is, so they got plenty of things. I mean, they're going to have a Jon Favreau live action Star Wars show. They're going to have all the Star Wars and Marvel movies and everything else kind of there to stream. I think they're probably going to pull like the Daredevils and Punishers and the whole Marvel Netflix stuff off of there and put it on there. The Loki and Scarlet Witch shows I am less excited about, honestly, because I like Elizabeth Olsen as an actor. I don't like her character. I don't want to see a whole show of her character. I do love Tom Hiddleston's Loki, but the same way I don't want a Boba Fett show, I don't want a Loki show.
Yeah.
Loki is very much kind of like a cool supporting character who makes everything around him because of shenanigans he gets into.
What I would want to see would be a kid Loki show or a Young Avengers show with him on it.
Yes.
Speaking of great comics that you should go and read, because I think he's so iconic on screen that I wouldn't really want to see a different version of him on screen. Tom Hiddleston or bust. And also, I think villain shows or movies are really tough to get right. And I really don't have any confidence that this would be right. And every time I see a trailer for the Venom movie, I am, you know, reassured that my opinion about villain movies is correct. So I just don't think it's compelling on its own. And also, I'm worried about the Disney streaming service because while it seems like there's infinite possibilities because they own all these major franchises, it also makes it kind of limited. You know what I mean? It's like, is it just going to be like Star Wars, Marvel, and kids movies? And that actually doesn't particularly entice me because of the way that television is moving. You know, I give Netflix a lot of crap, like a lot of crap. But there is something to be said that you can watch a lot of different things and be exposed to a lot of different points of view on Netflix. And I don't really know if I want to pay to see something where I know everything I'm going to get.
But that said, though, I think they're just pushing that stuff because that's the stuff that's going to get people there.
Right.
They're going to have like ABC shows that don't end up on a network, mm-hmm. comedies and stuff that will end up there. You'll probably have 30 for 30. All of the ESPN stuff there.
I love those documentaries.
But more. I mean, kind of like Disney owns ESPN, ABC, Freeform. It owns a lot of stuff.
And
Fox,
soon,
Fox now.
Soon, Fox Studios and FX.
Yeah. So I think
American Horror Story right next to Cinderella. Going to be great.
And you're going to have all those shows. You're going to have like probably all the whole TGIF lineup from the 90s. Is going to be there at all stream. You're going to have so much crap in that service.
I'm going to rewatch Reba as soon as it's available. Reba is so underappreciated, FYI.
So it's all going to be there. I think the Marvel and Star Wars stuff is going to be the high profile thing.
Yeah.
You know, this is worth $8 by itself. But here's all this other stuff you're going to get quote unquote free for it. But they're not reading the room right because Scarlet Witch is not a popular character
no.
at all. Again, like Lizzie Olsen a lot, character's kind of dumb. And again, we've gone back into Loki's dead. Move on. I think Loki in something like you said, Young Avengers, kid Loki in a high school comedy or, you know, something weird with that character would work. They want Tom Hiddleston for it. That is the wrong move because we're done.
We're done.
We're done with Tom Hiddleston, Loki. Something smarter would have been Shuri. Have a Shuri show, put her in San Francisco or Oakland. Oakland where they have that thing.
Cultural center.
Yeah. Where they put Black Panther. Have that be the show. Boom, right there. Or like, you know, Ned Leeds and Zendaya's Spider-Man character.
Yeah.
A Spider-Man show would rule without Spider-Man. Or a Daily Bugle show would rule without Spider-Man. Have a Daily Bugle, have a J. Jonah Jameson, all this kind of other stuff. Then, you know, have Tom Holland show up maybe two or three times.
Yeah, I would be really interested to see a middle grade, you know, not like a young adult show, not Runaways or Cloak and Dagger, which are aimed at teens and honestly adults too. And not necessarily stuff that's aimed at like grade schoolers, like the cartoons on Disney XD. But I would love to see something live action that's kind of middle grade, aimed at kids, like maybe 10 to 15, that gets to spend a little more money on it because it's on this Disney streaming service where they're obviously going to pour a lot of money. So it gets to be live action, but is still kind of juvenile. You know, I think Young Avengers would be a really great thing for that. I think that's something that Marvel is missing. And that's like a huge swath of people who love comics. It's like hitting the young adult like romances the way that Netflix is doing. Like, I think it would be so prescient for Marvel to find something for that age group because they're online.
Well, here's what you do. Marvel, if you're listening, here's your perfect show. West Coast Avengers.
Yes.
You have Hawkeye. Give my boy Jeremy something to do. You bring Lizzie Olsen, Scarlet Witch, totally was in the West Coast Avengers. You bring back Mockingbird from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Bring her in. As like an ex that Hawkeye used to have, like way back in the day. He's married and has kids, but they can still have like some weird sexual tension. Boom. Show. It doesn't have to be that expensive because, I mean, maybe you have like some Scarlet Witch magic you have to deal with. And maybe like, you know, some other kind of character who there's some CGI involved. And have a lighter tone than like an Avengers thing. It's like West Coast, a little bit, you know, kickier because it's
you
California
can film in
and
LA.
Everything. If you can film in L.A.
Done.
Done. Boom. Hit show. That's why people get the streaming services, because of that show. Boom. Yeah. People will do that.
Again, I ask, why are we not development executives?
I'm not getting paid enough.
Clearly. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have given that away, Brian.
I'm giving them stuff for free.
To all the Marvel executives who listen to this podcast. Well, that sounds like a good place to wrap up for this week. So it's your turn, listeners. We want to hear from you. Are you excited about Captain Marvel? Did you like the trailer? Are you interested in seeing new Marvel shows on the Disney streaming service about Loki or Scarlet Witch? Would you sign up for Brian's West Coast Avengers show? Can you raise money for it?
Yes. The answer to both these things is yes.
Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod, but you can also tweet at us individually. I'm at Kalawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And don't forget, you can also email us at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That'll do it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of the show, Miss Shannon Green and Miss Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and you never want to miss a single episode, you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts. And please, 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 we only ask this because we love you. Maybe give us a review. It would really help us. It's the fuel that keeps the mothership in the air. But if Apple Podcasts isn't your thing, you can also find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you like to take a listen to podcasts. And until next Friday, nerds out.
Later.